You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome to a Victory Friday edition of Bison Report Radio. Victories in the Maybe Center aren't maybe quite as sweet without the top heel in the company, Paul Mills, any longer with Oral Roberts. But hey, a win down there is a win nonetheless. And joining me for this jam-packed basketball-only show is my good friend, Nate Zastrow. Nate, how are you, buddy?
We're doing well. Victory Friday is right, and always good to get a win in Tulsa. Always a tough place to play, and it was good to see them close out a game on the road.
And honestly, good for your boys to get together for the first time in a long time to have a two-show basketball week. Been a minute.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't think we've had one all year, so let's keep that rolling, and hopefully we can ride one into a victory Saturday.
Tomorrow. That would be good. Yeah, absolutely. That would be most excellent. I am your host, Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report. And this episode of Bison Report Radio is brought to you by Below Zero Wrestling. Let's hit the news, and it ain't much. As we mentioned already, a two-show week. Football kind of in a sort of a dead zone right now. And, you know, we just kind of talked about what happened with hoops. Players, fans, et cetera, are making a push both for the women's team and the men's team to really get a lot of people there next Saturday for the doubleheader against UND. And as always at Bison Report, we encourage that fully. We would like as many people as possible to the UND game, and honestly supporting both squads, really, because a packed house, a good environment. The men have rattled off three in a row. They're now above 500 in the league. Still think they're the best team in the league, have since the beginning of the season, and they're starting to figure it out. I think last night was a big step forward, and the women are 9-2 in the league, man. And they are the number one threat to South Dakota State. It's, I think, the best team that I've seen since NDSU's been playing Division One women's basketball. So that is exciting stuff. There's a rumor going around related to the NDSU, and it's nothing catastrophic. So don't worry. Nobody's backing out of anything, but there is a rumor that have reached these ears about the NDSU Colorado football game. I'm gonna post on it on the VIP board, and I'm gonna leave it at that. We're not gonna do a big post even for the VIP. We're just gonna kind of keep this one quiet for the podcast listeners. If you want to tell your friends, that's fine, but it's also not confirmed, so we're not gonna treat it as news because it's not news. We're gonna treat it as a rumor because it is a rumor. Okay, not much else to go on. So let's dive straight into the Oral Roberts recap. to Javis Miller. He went into Tulsa, Nate Zastrow, and gave Ross and Nate the middle finger, did he not?
Yeah, and I'm happy for him to do that, because if we have to do that every week to get him to play like that, I gladly will, and he can continue to give me the middle finger. But what a night for him. Started playing like he was at the start of the year, where he had some really good floor games. And I mean, he's kind of a wild card for NDSU. If he could be that, if Morgan wants to keep playing, Bowden's going to be Bowden. Morgan wants to keep being consistent. If they could find that third scorer like that on a nightly basis, they're going to be a tough team to beat in Sioux Falls or any night in the rest of the Summit season.
Yes, sir. That was awesome. You know, we talked about it, and look, I was trying, not to didn't throw the excuse me, the idea of a sophomore slump around, really wanted answers. And, you know, when Coach Richmond said there might have been back issues, that was kind of easy for me to agree with, or easy for me to buy, believe, whatever. You look at his games running up into last night and his minutes totals, and like it just wasn't happening. And then, my gosh, 7 of 9 from the floor, 4 of 6 from downtown, 5 boards, an assist, and a steal. I mean, he just was everything they needed him to be. And that's in 19 minutes. I mean, that's not, he didn't go back to playing 36 minutes a game. He was very much on kind of a pitch count and was awesome, was absolutely awesome. And they were awesome. And I thought it was interesting, or interesting, maybe not even the right word, but just really encouraging to watch them close out a game. And, you know what I mean by that is they pushed the lead to 59-45. They're up by 14, had a couple chances to really throw a knockout blow. And they had, because they grabbed a rebound after they were up 14, and like Damari had a turnover, and they had a couple chances to push it like 16-18, like, hey, this game's over. And that didn't happen. And then Oral Roberts came back, and it was sort of like, oh my gosh, here's a familiar feeling. Down to 63-58 with 4:51 to go. Jakari takes the ball, goes right down the floor, hits a floater, and NDSU absolutely never looks back, gets stop after stop, makes their free throws, pushes the lead back up to 13 with 1 minute left, and that was essentially over, and it actually does end up ending at 13, a 73-60 win over Oral Roberts. And I think that was a big moment for them, man. Like, if they would have won that game in overtime, or ended up, you know, making their free throws to win by 3, it just would have felt like Groundhog's Day to me.
Yeah, and I think any time you can hold a team to 34% on their home floor, I don't care if they're really bad offensively or not known for their offense, that's a really good game. I mean, you shot more free throws than them. You out-rebounded them 44-36. Had 10 boards, and I mean, NDSU only shot 42%, and you're not going to see many teams win on the road with that type of percentage. It just shows that they had a really good defensive effort. They guarded without fouling. I mean, 6 fouls for the whole game, when you're typically used to getting a road whistle, is really good defending. And I think it, obviously their bench was a little tight last night. I think Richmond kind of felt the need to, while they had the lead, that they really wanted to get, split this road trip and get that one while they could. And obviously Miller's on a little bit of a pitch count, like you said. But I mean, Damari Wheeler Thomas 0-for-3, didn't really have a very good floor game, 4 turnovers, kind of struggled a little bit, but they needed him to play, because I mean, he seemed to be the only guy to play the points. So just a really good overall game. You hold them to 6-for-25 from the three, and with guys that are, I mean, Oral Roberts has some kids that can score. So really, really good overall effort from them.
Yeah, I mean, Phipps can shoot, Bedford can shoot, Kareem can shoot if he's open. You know, obviously McBride is a very individually talented scorer, individually, you know, gifted Division I basketball player. And you mentioned it, you know, we talked, I think, when, and it's not like you and I always had 100% faith in this team. And it's not like the story of this team is necessarily written, you know, and that they've 100% turned the corner. We know what they're going to be moving forward. But the one thing I always said, and people texted me, people, you know, in the mentions, this, that, or the other thing, like the one thing I always said is eventually they will guard. And that was a big, big part of the problem early on in the season. Teams getting into the 80s, teams getting into the 90s, and had to be driving coach just insane. But the one thing I just maintained is like this, if this team never figures out how to guard, they'll be the first team in, you know, Coach Richmond history that never figured out how to defend by the time March came around. And I think you're starting to see that, as you mentioned, defending without fouling. And that's why, like, and we'll get into it actually next, you know, Andrew Morgan, his size, his athletic ability, you'd think, oh, I bet he's close to leading the league in blocks, or NDSU plays a good defensive brand of basketball, I bet they're close to leading the league in steals. They're not. They don't. And Morgan, I don't think, has a block in the last 5-6 games. I'd have to go back and look, but it's just not what they do. And part of that is verticality, good positioning, And when you play defense like that, and you're not swatting at everything, and you're not trying to reach in, and you're not blowing up passing lanes, I think the refs understand that. And I'm not saying you get a favorable whistle, but your expectation on defense is that you are going to defend without fouling.
Yeah, and if you show that early on in the game with their wallops and chest ups at the rim, and it has been a defensive team that is going to make you hit jump shots, and their goal is to make you hit contested jump shots. And early on in the year, especially with some younger players, that's kind of hard for them to kind of grasp, because they're always worried about not letting a guy get a shot off or blocking a shot. So I think the way NDSU is defending lately, I mean, besides Omaha giving up 79, you gave up 73 in overtime to South Dakota State. You gave up 60 to UND in a loss. You gave up 78 to KC with overtime, and you gave up 60 to Oral Roberts. I mean, that's some pretty good defensive efforts here in the last few games. And granted, they aren't all in victories, but with overtime to hold a team still in the 70s is really good. And then UND 60 and Oral Roberts 60 is some good defensive efforts that they're going to need to continue to do.
Absolutely. And Andrew Morgan has been that guy that, you know, when we talked about kind of his recruiting profile and being one of the biggest recruits in the history of Bison basketball, you know, not answering Fran McCaffrey's call at Iowa because he was farming. You know, those are the kind of guys that you sometimes feel like you need if you're going to get over the top as a program, you know, of NDSU stature, and you hope to continue to elevate the program. But Andrew Morgan is, you know, quote unquote, one of those guys you're not supposed to be able to get. And he's looked like that now in kind of the middle of year three. And that's when a lot of this stuff happens. You know, people talk about some of the glory of yesteryears. Like Lawrence Alexander wasn't Lawrence Alexander until late in year three, year four. But he played as a true freshman. A lot of the legends redshirted, right? Like Dexter Werner, redshirted. Taylor Braun, redshirted. All those Woodside, Winkleman, all those guys redshirted. And the redshirt is really something because of the transfer portal. And just kind of the culture of Bison basketball, a shift change in general in Division I athletics, like the red shirt is used kind of for the end of the bench and guys that, you know, it's no longer used to like preserve these prized possession type recruits. It's you know, the guys that are at the end of the bench and guys like Fetterson that really needed some seasoning, and sometimes it works. And Noah is a great example of that, but got to remember that Morgs got thrown right into the fire, and so did Bowden, and so did DeJavis, and so did Damari, and like these guys did not have that that redshirt year that a lot of these Bison, you know, legends on the hardwood did. But he, as I mentioned, he's looked like that dude. The Summit League Player of the Week last four games, so throwing the UND loss in there, and then his Player of the Week, and then last night, 28 and a half minutes per game, which is important because right now, we'll talk about the rotation, but the rotation doesn't really have a lot of backup size at all right now. And so him being able to stay on the floor for 29 minutes a game without getting in foul trouble and keep his wind up and keep being effective, especially how hard he works in the post, is impressive. 60% from the floor, very important. 76% from the line. He used to be kind of a liability. I'm sure, you know, his opportunity to ice the game at UND, I mean, this team could easily be 7-4 if Andrew Morgan made it a couple more free throws in Grand Forks. But overall, to be 76% from the line in a four-game stretch is super impressive, averaging 20.3 points a game and 6.3 rebounds. Again, Morgs has looked like the guy we thought he could be.
And we've been waiting for it, and we've seen it in spurts where he has a game here and a game there, and then all of a sudden it seems like he gets back in the doghouse and he's coming off the bench a game, and obviously, we don't see the stuff that happens at practice and within the team to know kind of what goes on there. But it seems like he just needs to have his head on straight, where his motor's going at the pace that it needs to go, the offensive end and the defensive end. And it seems like he's finally putting it together. And hopefully, if he can stay in that 28 to 30 minute range and stay out of foul trouble, I think he can be a very effective player here going forward, and we've seen it the last few games, and hopefully that stays going here the last few here.
Absolutely. No, critically important, because I think, you know, so much else sort of revolves around him and the double teams that teams are starting to make and getting NDSU, because you know, one thing that I will fully admit about this team is they don't have, outside of maybe Jakari, like Vinny just used to go get a bucket. Paul Miller just used to go get a bucket. You know, they had guys that would just go get a bucket. And I don't know that they have, you know, Grant Nelson last year would go get a bucket. And this year, I'm not sure, you know, Bowden maybe with a little bit of mid-range game. But like you see, Damari tries sometimes and just gets in with the trees and can't finish. And Tejavis can't quite slither all the way through, although, you know, his health. And so some of this double team to get what they do have, which is guys that can knock down open shots, to get Waddles an open look, to get Javis an open look, to get Jakari an open look. Sometimes the double team that they have to send for Morgs is crucial when you have guys that are not individual shot creators, which right now I don't know that NDSU has outside of, you know, maybe, you know, the post up here and there from Bowden, post up from Morgs, and then occasionally Jakari will show flashes of, all right, I'm just going to go get two. That rotation has been shortened to eight and the rotation is small. That's interesting to me. You know, we talked a lot in the offseason about, okay, is it going to be Hostreiter or do we think it's going to be Jeremiah Burke? Who fills the number four role for Grant Nelson? And then the answer is darn near nobody. You know, they'll play Feddersen at the four. I think we both agree that he's a five. They play a ton of Feddersen at the five where Morgan sits. You know, when we're talking about averaging 28 minutes a game, well, there's 12 minutes where he's not on the floor. And Streit's no longer the backup five. It's Feddersen. So, you know, they're not playing five out. They have not been playing five guard lineups. So Feddersen plays a ton of five. And the two kind of body types or bodies that you would normally have playing the four are Hostreiter, who got a little bit of time last week, I think in the Omaha game or the Kansas City game, one of the two. And then, you know, Jeremiah Burke. And JB was kind of the JUCO, sort of exciting, high-level athlete, you know, scored a lot in junior college, can knock down open threes, has knocked down open threes, but just, you know, kind of an athlete type that maybe they didn't have in the past, and now it seems like he's maybe fallen out of the rotation. I don't know how long they can go with eight guys, especially if Tejavis isn't feeling great, and I don't know how long they can go with eight guys if your guys off the bench are DeSette, who at this point is kind of a non-scoring defensive hustle guy. And I think there's a brighter future for him, but right now he's kind of a non-offensive threat, like scoring, back cut, you know, make a layup, but like he's not shooting open threes right now. He's not creating for himself. They're not looking for him on offense. He's out there to defend people. He's out there to get offensive rebounds. He's out there to pass, take care of the ball. He's not a primary offensive option right now. And then, you know, the other guys, it's whichever one of, Jakari and Javis are or are not starting, and then Waddles. And so I wonder if they don't still maybe have to figure out a way to involve JB or involve Hostreiter just to be at 8.5 guys. And I think this is the only game where they've only played eight dudes, but that's a famous Richmondism, shortening that rotation as March approaches. And I just, especially, and we're going to talk about this on Saturday, if a team throws multiple bigs at you, I don't know how functional that is long-term. Like South Dakota State, if they're going to throw Apple and William Kyle at you, I don't know how many possessions you want Bowden Scumberg on William Kyle. I don't know. I don't know. Feddersen continues to get stuff done. On a night where he doesn't have it offensively, he's still grabbed 10 rebounds, and he's just been a super impressive kid to me, Nate.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about the redshirting. You don't see kids redshirting nowadays with the portal, and they're going to try to find a school where they can play right away. And if they don't play right away, they're going to go try to do it at another school. But it's got to be true that, I mean, Richmond and Feddersen had a plan going in last year, and I saw it when I was there with Richmond developing big guys, and I'm sure he has a great staff using the things that he probably isn't as involved in individual workouts anymore. But I mean, you saw it with like guys like Jordan Auberg and Marshall Bjorklund and Rocky Cruiser. And I mean, the list goes on, and just kind of slowly but surely finding ways to be effective. I didn't think we'd see that out of Feddersen, even in his redshirt freshman year, just because he was so raw and needed to put on a lot of weight. But he makes it, he's had a seamless transition and has really looked good. I mean, he can stretch the floor. He can rebound. He's got length to block shots or affect shots, and kind of a surprise this year with him. And I think I I still haven't looked at all the newcomers in the league, but all newcomer team, he's got to be on there, I would think.
Yeah, certainly, and definitely, I would say, you know, if you were to do an all freshman team, he would be on it for sure. I know they don't do the all freshman team. I think I've done it in the past when I've done my own awards, and I don't want to be like disrespectful of the transfers, but you know, there's a different skill set or there's a different a level of impressiveness to me for the freshman as opposed to like, well, it's a mid-major transfer portal league now, so we're going to recognize all these guys that, you know, go from school to school. I'm more impressed by the freshman, and maybe that might have to do with just my following of Coach Richmond and, you know, how NDSU's done business. Like, I can't even remember the last Division I transfer. You know, they've done transfers. Obviously, Jakari's a transfer. JB's a transfer. Vinny was a transfer. They've done it. You know, other guys, Tyler Witts, Andrew Coleman. But D1 to D1, NDSU has just not been in the market. So, different way of building the team, certainly. Bowden. Got to talk about Bowden. He just has been everything that this team has needed him to be. Plays almost every minute. Had Kareem Thompson as the defensive assignment last night. And whatever happened, happened. Not going to get into what happened, where he got suspended. But since that suspension, here's his point totals, Nate. And I'm not going to get into, like, the shooting percentages are fine. I'm not going to get into all that. But 23, 23, 18, 15, 20, 19, 14, 12, 21, 13, and 14. To me, that's incredible when you have a backcourt like with the talent level of Damari Wheeler-Thomas and Tajavis Miller, and then you have the primary goal as you watch this team, and obviously you do and I do, as you watch this team, the primary goal of this team is to get Andrew Morgan the ball on the block. They're running very little on offense to get Bowden Skunberg the ball. He's kind of Tyson Ward in that way where, you know, Vinny was creating a lot of high screen and roll stuff on that team. And eventually they would start posting up Tyson Ward, but Tyson Ward's junior year for sure. And then finally his senior year, his shots came as a part of the offense, and that's sort of, and they do it in very different ways, but that's sort of what I've seen with Bo, and just an incredible, incredible run of consistency here since whatever happened, because he was not playing well leading up into that suspension. And I don't know that those two things were related, and I don't know that they weren't. But his performance since being suspended is the model of consistency and the model of what this team has needed.
Yeah, and you got to think when teams are scouting NDSU, like, yeah, you want to make Morgan's touches on the block tough, but Bowden's the leading scorer, and he's by the leading scorer by 2 points a game with Morgan here coming on lately. But he's going to get his, and he's going to find a way to get his. And the way he gets to his shots, you could tell that he really works on his game. Because, I mean, he's like, I'm not saying he's an NBA player, but there's NBA players where they have their move to get to a certain spot on the floor, and they've practiced that move so much. You can just tell Bowden has his moves to get to his shot in certain areas, and he's done a great job. I know 41% is not an ideal percentage for a guard, but 35% from the three, and he's looked on to take the shots late shot clock. I know they run a lot of ball screens for Damari, but Bolden's kind of the guy that they're going to want late game, late shot clock to take those shots. And he's taken that role on very well here recently since the suspension, and not a more consistent player on NDSU's team, and maybe not even in the league.
Yeah. I'd love to look at him and might even say, you know, kind of his shooting splits since that whole thing happened. You know, I know, like you said, the, efficiency doesn't maybe look from a season long perspective that impressive, but I would guess of late it has been pretty darn impressive. And finally on the Oral Roberts thing, they finally didn't take a step back. You know, that's when you have a 500 basketball team and now they're finally above 500 in league play, but it always just seemed like a step forward and a step back. Right. And that was, I think the most frustrating one for me was beating South Dakota State in Brookings and then finding a way to lose that game in Grand Forks. They don't lose that game in Grand Forks, Nate. They're winners of five straight. And they had no business losing that game in Grand Forks. None.
No, they were up like seven with what, four left?
Yeah. And just collapsed. And then to win a game by 13 on the road after making the Kansas City win harder than it had to be, making the Omaha win harder than it had to be, and then just kicking Oral Roberts' butt in their house, it's like, maybe I can believe. maybe this is just what they are, and maybe this is the corner that they're going to turn. And that would be something I'd be paying attention to at 3 p.m. Central on the Summit League Network when they play Denver.
Yeah, and it's a tough place to play. I know elevation always matters with that stuff. It always did when we played Southern Utah. It's a tough place to play, but Denver's kind of been a weird team. You know, they beat South Dakota State on the road, or South Dakota State at home. They pound St. Thomas at home, but then they lose by 19. I believe that was to Omaha. And, you know, they've kind of been an inconsistent team, but they have the conference. It's got to be the conference's leading scorer, I would think, with Bruner averaging 25 a game. And, you know, they got to make things tough for him. And I think Jakari's most likely going to take on that responsibility with Bolden a little bit. And looking forward to that. We talk about steps back and steps forward. This would be a huge step forward if they go sweep a road trip and then have two huge home games with possible regular season conference title in their minds if they can win Saturday.
All right. Let's take a brief break here, and we'll come back and preview that game against Denver. Folks, this episode of Bison Report Radio is brought to you by Below Zero Wrestling, and BZW has their biggest show of all time this Saturday at the Butler Arena at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. Doors, autographs, pictures, etc., with the superstars, including former WWE superstar John Morrison, as well as current YouTube sensation and former WWE athlete as well, Maven Huffman. There to take pictures, sign autographs, et cetera, et cetera. And then the show will go on at 6 o'clock. You should not miss this. It is a very fun and very affordable way to entertain the whole family. Seats start at just $5, and it is already two times the size of the biggest BZW event of all time. Very, very exciting stuff. Very, very fun, family-friendly entertainment. And seats start at just $5. But what if we could do better? And we can. Use promo code BISON, that's BISON, for 10% off any ticket to BZW, from premium seats all the way to the bleacher seats, and take the whole darn family. Once again, that's doors at 4:30, show at 6, tomorrow, February 17th, Winter Slam. All right, Nate, Tommy Bruner, and we've talked about him, already has, there have been some good players there. Already has Denver's single season scoring record. I don't know how many games they have left, but it's plenty. And he has the single season scoring record. And that, to me, is super impressive. He's ranked nationally in scoring. So they have four games left, they being Denver. Man, he's impressive. His ability to create his own shot. You know, we talked about NDSU not having that. Denver has that.
And he's doing it while shooting 43%. He's obviously taken probably a lot of shots, but shooting 43%, doing it 37 from the three. They have all five of their starters shoot at least 36% from the three, which is pretty impressive. Denver's kind of been a team that doesn't shoot many threes. I think they're still kind of that way, but they're averaging 86 points a game, I think, in 85 or 86 points in conference games. Obviously giving up 86, so they're the worst defensively and the biggest offensive team. Should lead to an interesting matchup with NDSU, who's been really defending teams well, and Denver hasn't really been that type of team here the last few years. They've kind of been a grind it out, shoot a lot of two-point shots and get to the basket. So I'm looking forward to probably what's going to be looking like a higher scoring game, and obviously need to make things tough for Bruner, who's going to play probably a majority of the game. Denver's kind of in desperation mode a little bit to try to get into the middle of the pack and need a win. I mean, they lost to UND by 14, and you don't want to get swept at home.
Yeah, they got smoked by the Fighting Hawks, who somehow are back in first place in the league. But you look at the league standings, and you're right. They're not, I mean, they're tied with Oral Roberts, which is crazy because that's only at 5-7, right? And you know, NDSU could be 5-7. They're not, but they could be. You look at potentially a 5-7 team. Now that'll of course shake out, but they'll be in the play-in game. A team that's one game below 500 right now would be in the play-in game. So you're right. I mean, that could be absolute desperation for a Denver team. Cause I mean, they started, and we'll talk about this. In fact, we'll just say it now. I mean, they started league play 3-1, and you know, they got to think, okay, we're 3-1, beat SDSU, beat NDSU. We think we have the best player in the league, and that kind of thing matters in March. And now they're sitting there at 5-7, just got blown out at home. One of the better teams, the more talented teams in the league coming in. And you're right. I mean, it could get ugly. They're 5-7 in the league and 1-5 since that crazy double overtime win over South Dakota that got ESPN love. Caleb Stewart at USD had 44 and Bruner had 49. You're right. I mean, this team and they maybe they're just down in the dumps too, because they could just be really not feeling good about themselves as opposed to desperate. You never know, you know, how well coached a team is or how motivated a team ends up being.
Yeah, and they still have, they got to think that they need this one. They go at South Dakota State next, get a home game with KC, and then you end at St. Thomas. I mean, that's probably two losses if you're counting on the road or games that are going to be extremely tough. So if they want to avoid that playing game that you talked about, they're going to want to get this one Saturday. So it's going to be really important for NDSU. Obviously, things run through Bruner, but there were some other players, which we'll talk about, who killed them in Fargo as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that loss in Fargo by NDSU. NDSU trailing basically the whole time. Excuse me. Trailing basically the whole time. I was at that one. Not a fun, particularly fun game to be at. However, the Bison, and we've talked about this, you know, there really isn't a game where they just got their butt kicked still in league play. Even this game that felt really frustrating, that Denver game, Jakari White hit a jumper and NDSU was up 4 with 4 minutes left. I'm not saying you're, you know, locked into a win there, but you have 2-possession lead with 4 minutes left. You're certainly the favorite. And Denver just ran away. 1-8, should have won by 10. Javis made something at the end that was completely meaningless. I mean, NDSU just melted in the last 4 minutes and Denver just ran away from them. They did do a great job defensively on Bruner, who I think was like 5-for-12, but just was not the reason that Denver won that game. However, Toko Tainamo absolutely ate them alive. I think he had 21, 25, something like that. Gave Streit the business, gave Feddersen the business, anybody that they kind of threw at him. But just making off balance junk, and he's a good player. I don't mean that to be mean to Tainamo, but just kind of, if I throw it up, it's going in type vibes from him and from what, you know, I saw in that game. And Tainamo was really the problem, because they were able to, for example, have a way better handle on what Tommy Bruner was doing than when Caleb Stewart just was amazing in Fargo in USD's upset win over NDSU.
Yeah, and I think Bruner might have been – I'm seeing 4 fouls. I'm thinking he might have been in a little bit of foul trouble. But, yeah, I mean, you held him to 5-for-12. You held them to 7-for-24 from the three. But they were 23-for-32 from the two-point line and shot 53%. Tough to win at home doing that. I think – I mean, if it's not Bruner, it's going to be Tainamo. And hopefully NDSU has a different answer. I mean, 10-for-14 from the floor. 3 of his 4 misses were from three. So – I mean, NDSU had a different rotation at that time. I mean, DeSette played 23 minutes. It was one of those games where Andrew Morgan's coming off the bench. I just think NDSU's a little bit of a different team, and I think Denver's a little bit of a different team here too. They're riding high with confidence after being South Dakota State. And, yeah, I think it's just two completely different teams, and hopefully NDSU can ride the momentum and the way they're defending and find a way to get a win.
Yeah, it is definitely two different teams. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, Arrow probably pointing up for NDSU, Arrow probably pointing down for Denver. We've talked about their struggles since that 2-overtime win over USD. You're right, Morgs came off the bench in that game, did very little. That seemed to be kind of a wake-up call for him and a nice coaching move there by Dave and the staff. Bison 5-of-24 from 3, can't win games doing that. You got to start pounding the ball if you're not shooting it that well, you know, you'd have liked to see that stop at like 5 for 18, which is still not a great percentage, but you'd have liked to see them go inside. But if you're benching Andrew Morgan, it's tougher to go inside. Burke and Stride had 16 minutes in that game. That might not happen on Saturday. However, I will say, looking forward to Saturday, NDSU might have to lean a little bit more into those big lineups. Otto Ankra is 6'7". San Vicente is 6'8". And we talked about Tynamo being 6'9". I think all three of those guys start, or at least they started the game in Fargo. And so you can't get killed in the paint again. You know, I think you can take a similar approach to Bruner as you did in Fargo. You take a similar approach to Bruner as they did with McBride last night. McBride had 14 points on 14 shots. Had no assists, had 3 turnovers. That was awesome, but you can't get beat because, you know, you've made a small rotation and the other team goes 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", kills you on the offensive glass, you know, posts up your guards, and Tynamo's hitting, you know, right-handed hook over left shoulder. That stuff can't just happen constantly.
Yeah, and Denver, 44 points in the paint the first game. That they need to keep them from scoring in the paint, obviously, this time. If they can hold them to 7 for 24 from 3 again, I think I like their chances. You know, we talked about NDSU's rotation and how they went 8 deep. I'm just looking at the last two Saturdays. You know, they gave Burke a four-minute run here in probably the first half, I would guess, and to set for – I mean, I can see them going like 9-ish deep just to give some of those bigs just like a four-minute run here with tired legs and you're traveling and just how in the dog days of February. I'm really impressed with Lance Waddles the last few games. He kind of gives the guards something that we haven't had, and that's just a knockdown shooter. I know he's had some spurts, but he seems to be doing that a lot more consistently here. Like I've just talked about, I mean, it's two completely different teams. We have a completely different rotation from when we played them in Fargo, which is probably less than a month ago, and looking forward to the game tomorrow.
Yeah, and ultimately, too, the thing with Waddles is he just has proven that he'll be where he's supposed to be on defense. And he is always, I think, one of the top three or four offensive players on the roster. And not that he wasn't trying hard on defense, but I'm not sure how much D he was coached to play in high school. I'm not sure how much of a defense. He's not super long. I just think that his commitment to that part of the game of basketball has been very much noticed and appreciated by coach. And that has resulted for him in a very obvious increase in playing time. All right, Nate, what do you got for me? Prediction time. Let's wrap this baby up.
I think we're going to hit some free throws and get a stop late and win by 4.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go with Nate. I think Denver might be reeling. I know it's kind of crazy to be predicting a road sweep as up and down as this season has sort of gone for NDSU, but I'm going to go with Nate here. I'm going to be the optimist and roll with Nate, say the Bison win a close one in Denver. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks to Below Zero Wrestling for sponsoring the show. Have a great weekend, everybody, and go Bison.